Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, and we have another daily conversation. Oh my God, this might be one of the craziest daily conversations I ever had with Paris. Ever. It's insane. It's crazy. And I want you to listen to it. I'm going to play it right now in a few minutes. But first, head over to GamertagRadio.com. Post your comments and feedback. And also, you can subscribe. We're everywhere. Apple Podcasts, TuneIn Radio, Spotify, Radio Public. We're everywhere. Any podcast app, just search for Gamertag Radio and subscribe. If you have any friends that never heard about Gamertag Radio, also share this episode. Share the content, and let's spread the word about GTR. Let's grow. All right. Also, if you would like to also join the conversation, we have a lot of community members from around the world, part of our Discord channel. You could join us right now just using your device. Go to discord.gg/GTR. That's discord.gg/GTR. We're there. We have a lot of community members there. Join us and let's have a conversation, man, about not only this, but anything that's going on in the gaming industry, man. We have a lot of great conversations there, man. All right. So I'm going to play Daily Conversations episode with Paris. And this is insane. Enjoy.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
Hello?
Yo, Paris.
Yo.
Paris, I know it's been a couple of days now since the whole announcement of Stadia. Have you been reading stuff about it? Got to see the press conference or what? Before we ask you a couple of questions.
Yes.
Yeah?
So
it's officially.
Talked about it. Yeah. Since last we talked, I got to sit down and actually watch the entire press conference from start to finish. I was pretty impressed by it, by what they're presenting. I mean, obviously, all the questions that we had last time still remain. But then I saw Digital Foundry. They did an analysis. They got an exclusive scoop where Google, you know, let them come in and do their testing. And they compared it to the testing they did when it was Project Stream. And it was still Assassin's Creed Odyssey. It was still at 1080p, 30 frames per second. But they noticed that the latency had greatly improved since they initially did it. They actually went as far as to compare it to it had less latency using the new Stadia, using the controller via the Wi-Fi, than it did with an Xbox One controller going through an Xbox One X. It actually was less latency doing that. So
interesting.
That's obviously very impressive. And they were testing with, like, I think they used a Chromebook for testing, and then they used an LG OLED TV or something like that as well. Because, you know, there's display lag, you know, as well, depending on the type of monitor you're using. Obviously, with Bluetooth, there could be some type of lag, you know, things like that. So they went through testing all these things, and the latency was pretty good. So what that tells me is the technology is getting to the point for just normal gameplay, not competitive gameplay. Because once you get into Call of Duty World Championships or the Street Fighter competition, Smash Brothers and all that, the tiniest millisecond of latency could be all the difference, right? So I think we should all get out of our heads immediately that cloud gaming will never work for competitive gaming. That's not going to happen. But I think for me, sitting on my couch playing Cyberpunk 2077 as an example, I think it'll be fine with my connection. So I took it a step further, and there's this thing called GC ping, where you can do GC ping from your PC, and it'll basically ping the closest Google data center to you and tell you how much, basically how much of a round trip the response is going to be, right? Mine is at Los Angeles. I was averaging 7 to 9 milliseconds ping response to the closest Google data center. So that, bro, let me tell you right now, that's nothing. That is absolutely nothing. I have a direct pipe into the Google data center from my house over my connection. No problem at all. So for me, at my house as it stands today, this cloud gaming for Google Stadia should work just fine. Should work probably as advertised. I mean, so much so, I could probably do the 4K 60 that they're touting, because that was the other thing that came out of this. Mm-hmm. They were saying you'll probably need at least a 30 megabit connection to do 4K. And I think they said, did they say 20 for 1080p or 10? I forget. But again, ultimately, for modern broadband, that's not crazy to have that requirement, right? Even at your basic levels of modern broadband, that's realistic to be able to do that. So again, you know, we'll see when it actually comes into play and we have like the public test of it and we get it on our hands. But
yeah,
I think it can work, dude.
Now,
I do think it can work.
Now, do you think that Microsoft should be worried, or this is like, okay, now they got to step up their game now because of Stadia? Because the conversation that we were having during the last data conversation, it was very fresh because it just happened at the moment.
Yeah,
like the press conference,
and I
finished.
Didn't know anything.
Yeah, so now that it's been a couple of days, I'm wondering what Microsoft been saying behind the scenes. What Phil Spencer is thinking about all this? Like, do you think? Do you think it's a good thing for them, or do you think they're in trouble because of this announcement or not?
Well, no, I don't think they're in trouble at all, because you saw what Phil Spencer, I guess an email he distributed internally to the Xbox team. If anything, Microsoft is excited about this because it proves that what they're doing, they're going down the right path of what they're doing with Project xCloud, you know, and they're excited to show off what they have to offer coming up in June at E3. So here's the thing. The fact that you have a Microsoft and a Google who have the infrastructure in place to pull something like this off globally is what gets me excited. This isn't like some startup company that, hey, I got this great technology, let me partner with someone and see if we can figure it out. It's like, look, Microsoft and Google ain't got to partner with nobody. They just do it because they can. They have the money. They have the assets. They have the infrastructure in place, the data centers globally to pull this off. They have the bandwidth coming out of those data centers to pull this stuff off. So if the technology works, the latency isn't the issue. It really just comes down to the consumer having enough broadband at their house to be able to pull it off. That's all it comes down to.
Yeah.
So yeah, it can work. I believe it can work. I I'm 45. I never thought this day would come that I could actually sit here and say I could believe something like this could work, but I do think it can work.
Yeah, yeah. Now, what are your predictions for E3 now? Because I think personally that pricing is going to be super important now. So I know during the last conversation I mentioned that maybe have everything into part of the service, like Game Pass or Xbox Live. You don't need to pay extra. Because I think if they start charging for the cloud, for Game Pass, for Xbox, I think it's like too much. But if they have it into one, that's perfectly fine. So there's no extra charge because of that, you know? So I'm thinking Microsoft need to make some big, huge announcement at E3 if they really want to get everybody's attention, man, about this. You know what I'm saying?
Well, here's the latest rumors coming out of GDC.
Okay.
The rumor out of GDC is Stadia is going to be free as far as the streaming portion of it goes. You ain't going to have to pay a red freaking nickel for it. And it makes sense because what companies like Google and Amazon do is they provide these kind of services that either lose money or they make no profit on it. So Google wants us to succeed, so they're not going to charge you for the streaming. The rumor is they'll have a store. You can buy games just like you would on any other platform. Nothing. We haven't said anything about a subscription service yet, so we don't know if they're going to do anything like that, which I do think would be tough to pull off with third parties, by the way. So maybe they don't do a subscription at all. Maybe it's just you buy our game, and the streaming part of it is 100% free. You buy it, boom, you instantly have access to it, and you can start playing. I think that's probably what happens day one. But then when I look at Microsoft, which tells me they're not charging a red nickel for their cloud streaming either. It will be 100% free because, again, this is what competition does. So the fact that a Stadia exists, even if Microsoft was considering charging something for it, they're not going to do that now. But the advantage Microsoft is going to have is this. They can say any game that you own digitally in the Windows ecosystem, instantly available to stream where any device you want, wherever you want, right?
Yes.
If you don't want to stream, you can download it on your PC. You can download it, play it on your Xbox. No problem. I think that's the advantage. Not to mention, oh, by the way, for all our first party stuff, you still got Game Pass. All the Game Pass streams instantly as well. Boom. I think that's the advantage Microsoft will have over Google because, again, Microsoft has been doing this now for almost 20 years.
Yes.
Being in the gaming service. Mm-hmm. So they have the advantage of we can still give you your high-end hardware. We're also saying all our games, you can download it and play on your high-end PC if you want to, too. Don't want to do either one of those? Pick up your iPad. Boop, hit our app. Boom. There you go. Go ahead and play on there.
Yeah, you know what?
On your, phone, anything.
That make more sense, too, man. And just imagine this, Paris. Just imagine this. All the games that you purchase through the Xbox Live, like your Xbox Live account, all that is available for you to play via stream. Everything from all the way from like the original Xbox to now, and also through the next gen consoles. Yeah. I think that's the advantage that Microsoft has, man, for sure. Because here's the thing, they could also say, "Oh, you're in Game Pass. Don't worry, you can still play all these games still, just because you're part of a Game Pass subscriber." That's a good move. Now with Google, how can they do a streaming, like a subscription service then? Because like you said,
that's the point I'm making.
They don't have no first party games as of now. Maybe in the future, yeah. But they don't have the library. They don't. So it's going to be kind of hard.
That's my point. Day one, they're not doing a subscription service because they just simply won't have the exclusive lineup to do one unless they really throw a ton of money at a Ubisoft or a 2K or whoever, Bethesda, whatever, to say, hey, allow us to have some of your games on our subscription service. That's the only way that would work. And I if I'm Ubisoft, why am I doing that? I'm not going to do that. I would say you could buy it on the Stadia store, but you're still buying it at the full price because it's also going to be available on the Epic Store. It's going to be available on Uplay. It's going to be available on PlayStation. It's going to be available on Xbox. And the Switch, depending on what the game is, right? So I don't see them doing the subscription service unless they do something similar to where it's their older games, like the way they did with The Division. You know how The Division was on Game Pass for a while?
Yes.
Maybe it was something like that.
Like from summer, right? Summer to January, I think it was?
Yeah. Yeah, where you take some of the older games and you say, okay, that can be a part of the Stadia subscription service, but any new releasing game, no freaking way. Like, example, Cyberpunk. There is no way in hell CD Projekt Red is going to say, yeah, put Cyberpunk on the Stadia subscription service. Hell, they're not going to put it on Game Pass either. You know, that's kind of the point.
Yeah.
They're going to do that.
Well, unless they sell it through Google, that's the only way.
No, they'll sell it. I can see them selling it at $60 on the Stadia. That's what I mean. Stadia will have a store where you could throw $60 at a game if you want. I don't think they're going to deny that at all. But what I do think is a subscription, no freaking way. Now, here's the bigger question. So if you got the Stadia store, right? Mm-hmm. So you can buy it on the Stadia store. You can stream it on Stadia. Will they have an option to say, hey, if you're a PC gamer, you can download it too? Now, if they do that, game changer. Game changer right there. Because now you're competing directly with Steam, Epic Game Store, Uplay, all that. Because now as a PC gamer, I have the flexibility of, I could just stream it instantly, or I could download it, do whatever I want on my own high-end rig. if they can do that, that'll be big for them.
Yeah.
Because now that kind of negates what Microsoft did. Because look, to me, if I had to choose, if both are the streaming portion are free and I got to buy the game, Microsoft has the advantage. Because Microsoft, number one, is going to have exclusive games that you can't get anywhere else. Gears 5, Halo, stuff like that, right? And all the big third-party games are going to be available on the Microsoft platform as well. And again, you could probably stream Cyberpunk 2077 in 4K 60 on Project X Cloud, right? That would be realistic. That could realistically happen.
Yeah,
you know, not to mention Game Pass. I'm going to have a subscription service as well for some of the other stuff.
You know what? Let's go back in October when this video came out of X Cloud, Project X Cloud. You could, for those that never heard of about this, you could go to YouTube and watch the video of the announcement from Microsoft. But I remember this, that one of the games that Phil Spencer mentioned, that he was giving an example, like imagine playing Red Dead Redemption 2 on your mobile device, on your tablet, or anywhere, in any device, anywhere you go.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. Like, they are going to have partnerships with all the third-party companies that have all these games available on the Xbox, or even if those games are also available through the Game Pass subscription service. Like, Paris, the more I'm thinking about it right now, the more I'm like, okay, it makes sense. That's what's going to happen. All the games that you purchase, it is going to be available there. That's why when you said that X Cloud, the streaming part of it, is going to be free, it makes sense. Because if we go way back last year, the conversation we were having is, you were like, it can't be free. It's too expensive, this and this and that. And I'm like, but why would they start charging people for this? Because it's going to make the consumers confusing. Like, it's confusing as hell.
Yeah.
You know, so now that this rumor is going around with Google, it makes all sense now, man. You know what are you saying?
Now, I'm going to throw another monkey wrench into this, which I think needs to happen. I don't think they're going to do this, but this is what I think should happen.
Okay.
Get rid of Xbox Live Gold altogether. Just get rid of it. Get rid of it. Because here's the thing. If you want Project Cloud to succeed, if I'm not, because like right now on the PC, I don't have to have Xbox Live Gold to play like Gears of War 4 multiplayer, Sea of Thieves multiplayer with you on the Xbox, right? I don't have to have Xbox Live Gold to do that. Only if I have the console. So I would assume if they want mass adoption of cloud globally, the 2 billion people they were talking about, if I'm playing cloud on my iPhone or a tablet or wherever, I don't have to have Xbox Live Gold to do that, right? I'm just going to, if I own the game digitally, I'm just going to be able to whoop and just play it. Take that restriction away. That stick, because again, make it simple. Make it $9.99 Game Pass, our subscription thing. That's all. That's the only thing we're asking you to buy. Other than that, everything's free.
Paris,
that's what they should do across all platforms.
I mentioned that to you guys one time on a podcast, and you guys were laughing at me. You guys were laughing at me saying, "Why not have Xbox Live
you're right.
free?"
You're right.
Yeah, Xbox Live for free.
You're right, but here's what's changed. It's like I said before, Google changed. Google is now is going to be competition for them as far as cloud streaming goes. Legit competition. Competition is not going to go away. And if Google's like, "Yep, ours is free,"
so
theirs has to be free too. Because what I'm saying is, the only people that get screwed in this scenario is someone like you that wants to have a console. I'd be like, F a console. I'll just play on the PC or I'll stream it. Why am I owning a console anymore if you're going to charge me freaking $60 a year just to play multiplayer games on it? That's stupid. I'm not doing that.
You know, it would be crazy because Microsoft was the first company to start charging online from their first console, Xbox One. They could be, the company could be the first one to actually remove that. And yo, that would be like an industry shock if they manage to announce that during E3.
And this is what you do to make it, anyone that's already, because like me, I have Xbox Live Gold for the next 2 years already paid for, right? This is what you do. Okay, I'll take that money that you already invested in the gold. I'll forward that on into Game Pass. Now you got Game Pass for 2 years. Done. That's all you got to do. That's it.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Everyone wins.
Yeah.
That's yeah. it.
Or that's well, it. Or credit for any game you want. Do you think that's...
Yeah, that, something like that. But you see what I'm saying? Just, in other words, we'll take the money you already spent and we'll reinvest it back into the ecosystem for something else you can use.
Yo.
But gold goes away. Done.
Yo, Paris. If this happens...
And you know how right now they do games for gold?
Yeah.
Now, instead of games for gold being tied to Xbox Live, you tie to Game Pass. So, if you're a Game Pass subscriber, we'll give you two games that you own forever, even if you cancel Game Pass.
Yeah.
But if it's one of the games that we offer during that month, now you own it forever.
It's a little bit crazy. Like, I get it. I get it. We're excited, but this is a little bit crazy, Paris. I don't know.
I'm saying if you get rid of Xbox Live Gold, take the incentives of what was in gold, just put them in the Game Pass. What's wrong with that?
Yo, let me tell you, man. Let me tell you this. If that happens at E3, that would be a changing moment for Microsoft, man. Changing moment.
Well,
yo,
it.
A huge mic
well,
drop that we have never seen since maybe the $299 situation from PlayStation and Xbox. Since then, I don't know what else. This will be a huge mic drop if they manage to do that. Whew.
But think about it. And yo, I didn't realize it at the time. When Paulson and I went to that San Francisco Microsoft event and Phil Spencer was there, that was 2016. Spring Showcase 2016, that's what it was in San Francisco, right? And Phil gave the opening speech. And we didn't realize it at the time, but they were setting everything up for where we're at right now and where we're going to be at by the end of 2020 with Xbox Play Anywhere, Game Pass, all that started then. That was the speech he was giving, and we didn't even know it at the time. We didn't realize this is what they were building to. But here we are.
What was that, it that he said so at that me, moment? What was it he said at that moment that
just,
got, that you're
just
saying this?
That they were going to start leveraging Windows more. And, you know, basically that was the birth of them starting to have games available on Windows 10, Xbox games, things like that. I mean, they weren't calling it Play Anywhere at that time. They weren't talking necessarily about the subscription services at that time. But what he was saying was that they need to grow beyond just the Xbox console. They got to start thinking of the universal platform. That's when UWP was first coming around, things like that.
Yeah.
That's what this is. Microsoft is getting away from being a console, and Xbox is becoming a service. That's what they're building towards. So why would you have Xbox as a service, but then your console people are basically being charged an extra $60 while your Windows people and your streaming people are not? That's why I'm saying Xbox Live Gold,
mm-hmm.
It almost makes sense that it goes away.
If you even take it even further, Paris, PC free, right? For if you have Xbox Live, it's free on PC. Now with the Switch that they just announced Cuphead, it also has
free.
Xbox Live, exactly, Xbox Live support, and it's free. You get your achievements and everything there, right? Minecraft, you could also log into through your Xbox account, not only through the Switch, but also mobile, PC, anywhere, and it's free. Why would you have Xbox, the console, the owners of the console, why are you charging them $60 every year and everybody else is free? I think it's going to happen, Paris. I think this E3, we might see that change, that Microsoft says, you know what? Let's remove Xbox Live. Let's have it for free. Let's have it for free. Yeah, I see it. I see it. It will be a huge mic drop if they manage to do that. Woo! Huge.
Because you do that, now all of a sudden, all the eyeballs then shift back over to Sony. Hey, why are we paying for PlayStation Plus? What's up with this?
Oh,
why are we doing that?
And that will make people say, you know what? I'm gonna leave this. I'm not gonna buy the next console. I'm just gonna go and subscribe to the service. Forget about buying Xbox, the next Xbox. Let me just subscribe to the service, PC, mobile, any device. and you could still play all these games. Still, if you're a Switch, a Nintendo Switch owner,
yo,
I see the future, man. I see the future. I know a lot of people are going to be hearing this. This is a conversation, and then we're like, wow, this is crazy talk. But I see it. I see it.
No, it is crazy. It is crazy talk. But just think logically of where to look at where the technology is taking us. That's all. If you're listening to this, ask yourself the question, where is the technology taking us? We've already seen it with music, Spotify, Apple Music, things like that. Streaming is how you do it now, right? Netflix, Amazon Prime, Hulu, Disney Plus for all your TV and your movies now, right? That's where subscription model, that's where it's all going. It just makes sense that gaming goes to streaming as well. If the technology allows it to happen, they're going to freaking do it. Because again, just like music, movies and all that, you can still buy a CD and play it in your house. You don't have to stream it, but you do for the convenience. Movies, you can still buy Blu-ray, right? A DVD, you can still play, you know, that way. No one's forcing you to do any of these things, and that's what they're going to do with gaming. They're not going to force you to stream, but that's going to be an option that's available, and then you're going to start seeing it adopted more and more because ease of use, because as the technology continues to get better, the easier it's going to be. Again, take the Stadia thing. I could be watching my favorite streamer. I'm going to just say Mesa Sean because that's my boy. I could be watching Mesa Sean do another Destiny tips and tricks video, right? I'm watching this video.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden the button comes up right now. Come play with me right now. I hit the button. Boom. I'm in the game playing with him right now. That shit is real. That's what they're saying is going to happen.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you do that if you could do that?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or we're watching, I'll just take another random one. The Splinter Cell comes out, right? The new Splinter Cell. We're watching the debut trailer video for it or something like that. Play the demo now. And the button pops up to play the demo. You just hit the button. Boop, you're instantly playing it.
Imagine seeing that on Mixer.
Yeah.
Live, like the press conference. Press now.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Ooh. Yes. Again, all of a sudden, Twitch, Mixer, all these things. Because again, we were talking about this offline. You 1,000% know that Microsoft is integrating Mixer into the cloud streaming.
Yep.
So when your favorite content creator is playing Gears of War 5, there's going to be a button. Buy it now. Play now. You're in. Playing it instantly. That's happening. Of course. Why wouldn't they? Same with Twitch. Because look, you know Amazon's going to get into this too. And that's the other thing, the competition. Amazon, Google's already doing it. Microsoft's about to do it. Amazon's going to do it too. You know it. And I saw a rumor that Walmart even wants to get in on the party.
Walmart too? What?
But the fact that you got Google, Microsoft, and Amazon, the three largest tech companies in the world doing it, that's huge. That's huge because that means the technology actually works. It's not a gimmick. They're going to throw real money at it. They're going to throw real resources at it. The infrastructure is already in place for all three. Because again, between AWS, Azure, and Google data centers, they're already in place globally. They're already there.
Yeah.
Just go.
Here,
put the technology in place and do it.
This is why that Nintendo, we're going to see more of Nintendo and Xbox announcements in the future, man. I know we're excited about Cuphead, rumors that maybe Ori the Blind Forest might be coming up and maybe some rare games too. That's fine. But it will be a game changer, Paris, if Microsoft, during their press conference, have all these announcements about removing Xbox Live Gold, all that stuff, right? The streaming, it's free, Project X Cloud.
Mm-hmm.
And then the biggest mic drop of all, you could also play this on Nintendo Switch. You know how big that press conference will be if that, let's just say it was all that, plus the exclusives, they talk about the next gen console, all that. Just imagine, Paris, You know how many people will go crazy for all that? Might be one of the biggest press conferences we've ever seen. You, if they manage to pull this off like this, it will be one of the biggest press conferences we've ever seen. Period. Period.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, think about it. They're gonna at either. Oh, by the way, Phil Harrison, I'll explain what I think this really means. Phil Harrison, would not commit Stadia at E3. Because he was asked point blank by Polygon and he wouldn't commit to it, which tells me that, like you said, they're going to be at E3.
Of course, they're going to be
at E3. That means they will be at E3.
Come on.
Because
it's their first console.
Well, not even that. It's more so because they know Microsoft is going to unveil theirs. And most likely, Microsoft might come out, like we said, it's free. Spider Games, boop, just play it. The beta starts this date. You know, it'll be live on whatever. You know what I'm saying? They're going to announce all that stuff in June, right? Google has to be ready and prepared to say the same thing on the same damn day. They have to be.
Mm.
So, yeah, they'll be there. They'll be there. They'll have something to say.
I'm going
to
take it even further, man. I think that Google is going to have their press conference on a Monday morning. There's nothing really going on in the morning until what? Ubisoft? Usually Monday, 1 p.m., 2 p.m. Pacific?
Right. Well, yeah. There might be like the PC gamer thing or whatever.
Yeah, but that's not
Monday
that
morning.
That's not that big.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not that. Not a whole
exactly.
Thing. Yeah.
Well, I know, but you're right, though, because like I said, Microsoft comes out Sunday afternoon. I think, 1 o'clock? They'll do it.
Yeah.
And Bethesda will have theirs at 5:30. And then, if Google jumps in at 9 a.m. on Monday and go, oh, by the way, here's our stuff, too. That just makes sense.
Yeah. Woof. Oh,
now, I'm going to take you a step further because I tweeted this yesterday. And you and I have talked about this multiple times already. But I just find it funny, like, the responses I was getting. I even tagged Phil Spencer on it. I'm like, look, y'all want to make a splash at this? Every game you show is Project Cloud. Every game. Streaming. And then after it, when they do their showcase after, when we get to go play it, everything we play, there's no hardware. Everything we play is streaming.
Yep. And not only that, not only that.
Impress the media and the influencers. That's what you do.
Not only that. Have an option. Have the TVs. Have the tablets. Have the mobile phones. Even have the Nintendo Switch. Even have the Nintendo Switch available right on the spot. Oh, you want to play xCloud? Here, try it. Whatever you want.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Instead of like it normally is with the big TVs and all that, you see the Xbox One X there? No. You have some TVs that are just smart TVs. You get, like you said, tablets, phones, all that with a controller attached to them. All right, go play. Here, go play Gears 5. Knock yourself out. That's what you do.
Yeah.
That's what you do to get people to believe. Like, oh, this really does work. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, but it was funny. The response on Twitter had me cracking up because people were like, they can't do that. They're not going to do that.
Hey, you know what?
Like, okay.
Yeah, look. I get it. Paris, you know? I get it. People right now, they don't look. I get it. We used to be like that when we were young, you know, would think, conspiracy and all this stuff. I get it. The thing is, this change is very new and it sounds kind of crazy if you actually think about it, right? But sometimes companies they need to be aggressive, man. When there's competition, when there's competition and that company is really hungry, the consumers at the end of the day wins. You know, so I'm glad that Google is in here, man, to compete. I'm glad. And this is a perfect timing because it's during the same year where Microsoft is also going to be talking more about their streaming service. And most likely about their next-gen console. So I'm loving it, man. I'm telling you, Microsoft is going to be super, super aggressive. And especially that Sony's not going to E3, they're even going to be more aggressive, man, because of that. You know, so now that they know that Microsoft knows that that Google is ready for this too, oh, man. Dude, what was the things that, because I haven't read the whole email that Phil Spencer sent to the company, to Xbox, but what was like the biggest highlights that you remember right now, the things that he mentioned during that email that he sent?
I mean, I don't remember specific what he said, just that the fact that Google is going in all on this just doubles down on what they're doing. Like, in other words, it gives them even more confidence in what they've been doing, you know, with Project X Cloud, and that they're excited to unveil everything they got at E3 2019.
Yeah.
That's basically was his message to the company. You know, again, if Google's willing to step out on a stage and have Jade Raymond come out there, show Ubisoft partnerships, all this stuff, say, hey, this is what we're doing. And if Microsoft is like, see, if Google's going to do it, we know we're on the right path. We know we're on to something. All right, let's show them what we got at E3 and really blow them away. And again, I think they have the huge advantage over Google because they've been doing gaming for 20 years. And they have exclusive lineups that they can trot out there. They have actual hardware to show to tell people, we're not forcing you to do it. You can buy from our store, and you can stream it if you want it. You can play it on your PC if you want it, or you can play it on our Xbox if you want. Up to you.
Yep.
Yep. That's the advantage they got, which I think is perfect.
Yeah, man.
Because, again, it's just choice. It's just choice, which is, as a gamer, that's all you want. You just want choice. You know?
See, that's why. Yeah. No, I was gonna say, Paris. This is why Microsoft was successful during Xbox 360 days, because the company gave the consumers options. Like, it's your choice. You want to jump in and play Xbox 360? This is all the versions that we have. Right. That was like the beginning of player's choice.
Yep.
Right. They, you know, during the Don Mattrick days, it didn't work out because they got, you know, the company got gassed up, all this stuff, Kinect and whatever. So when the original Xbox One came out, there was no consumer's choice. You were stuck with that, and that's it. There was no other option. If you want to buy the Xbox One, you got to buy it with Kinect, right? Now, with all this stuff with Project Cloud, with Game Pass, with all the different versions coming out, actually now, supposedly in a couple of days, that's when the discless version of Xbox One is coming out, right? So you have an option to buy that. When the next gen console comes out, they're also going to have multiple consoles that you could choose whatever you want. Or if you don't even want to buy the console, you have the option to just go to the streaming service and just stay with that. And that's it. At least they're giving you options. And I think that's why this time around, the company is going to be even more successful, because when you give player choices, it's a lot easier. Some people will go big. Some people will go with a cheap route. And that's fine. That's fine. At least there's an option for us to choose, you know, instead of just being stuck with one thing and that's it. We're stuck with that.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. It all just comes down to choice, giving the consumer choice. Microsoft can stand on a stage and basically say, with Game Pass, for $120 a year at retail, you have access to hundreds of games and exclusive titles from any device you want around the world at any time, instantly.
Yep.
That's the marketing pitch that they can throw out there.
And the rumor is,
you know, and
the rumor is, if you have a phone, you can play that, like, what, 4G? You can still stream 4G.
That's what I'm saying. Allegedly, again, rumor. Allegedly, Microsoft is saying they've got their latency down. You only need a 5 megabits connection to do it at 1080p. Allegedly. I mean, we'll see. You know, we'll see what the truth of all this is. We don't know yet.
That's kind of crazy.
But, yeah.
It's kind of crazy, though. Oh, man. Are you excited? I'm excited for the future, man. I'm excited. Super excited for the future, man.
Yeah.
Man. This is a great conversation, dude. This might be one of the greatest daily conversations we had, yo. So far.
No, yeah. I mean this is again, technology excites me because, you know, hey, some of it works, some doesn't, but let's see. Let's see. I want to see if it works. We've already had on lives. We've already seen PlayStation Now. We got NVIDIA has their GeForce Now stuff that actually, you know, what's funny. I didn't even talk about this because I think I've talked about it a little bit. You know, I actually used NVIDIA GeForce in my house right now on the NVIDIA Shield with local streaming. You know, it's like Steam Link and things like that.
Yeah.
But NVIDIA has their cloud thing too, which it works. I mean, there's latency and all that. But again, this isn't NVIDIA talking about this. This is Microsoft and Google doing this. So they're going to go all out. They're going to go completely all out with this stuff. And like I said, even using it right now, like I was playing Assassin's Creed Origins, late last year, what was that, 2017 or whatever, when that came out, and on using an NVIDIA GeForce. But this was from my PC in my house, streaming across my local network to my big screen TV on the Shield. And it worked just fine. It was in 4K, the whole thing. So if they're able to, so at least you know the streaming can work, right? It really just comes down to, can you get enough bandwidth over the internet to your house with a response time? And it looks like they're going to be able to do that. As long as you can do that, mm-hmm. that means it can work.
Before we hang up, Paris, what about Sony and all this, man?
No, they're not going to do it. They're going to keep doing PlayStation Now and all that, but they're not going to push this the way that Google and Microsoft's going to push it. No way. Because they're going to make a beast PlayStation 5 and still say, hey, you want to play Death Stranding, Last of Us 2, you know, freaking Horizon Zero Dawn, to all their exclusive stuff, get a PlayStation 5. Because we're number one. And until that model fails, they're going to keep doing it. Why wouldn't they?
That bothers me a little bit, Paris, because...
I disagree with that.
No, but let me tell you why, Paris. Let me tell you why. Back when PlayStation 2 was number one, PlayStation got gassed up for PlayStation 3. Same thing with Xbox, when Xbox 360 did pretty good in the United States and in Europe. The company got gassed up with the release of Xbox One, and they hurt both companies, man. It hurt. So what I was thinking is, not just have a powerful console and just release it, but make some changes with PlayStation Now or something that is going to get us even more like hype, more excited. Not just, oh, we have a new game, we have a new powerful console, and that's it. That nowadays, Paris, that's not enough anymore, man. Like, that to me is the old. That is the old way. But hold on. If you have new features, make some major drastic changes with PlayStation Now, and yes, have your exclusives, have the most powerful console, that's fine. But you can't just release a console and all the exclusives and that's it. You can't. What else is new? What else is new besides that? Because we've been there and done that with every single console that's been coming out, man, throughout the years, since way back in the days, man. It's not about power anymore, man.
But it's about the service now. But again, from a technology standpoint and all that, yes, I'm excited to see all this new stuff pushing the industry forward. But Sony, just by the time we get to the end of this generation, they will have sold over 100 million PlayStation 4s. They've outsold the competition more than 2-1, right?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
If you go into the next generation, why are you deviating from a plan that works? We don't know that this cloud gaming is going to work and be a huge success. Again, both Microsoft and Google are going to have to give away the infrastructure at cost. They might even lose money on it, right? Whereas Sony, you get that PlayStation 5, you buying it, they sell another 100 million PlayStation 5, it's profit. They're not losing money on that. Remember, Sony's not the big conglomerate that Microsoft and Google is. They can't afford to roll out the huge infrastructure, cloud infrastructure, that it would take for them to compete on that. So why even try to compete on that when you're number one, doing it the way that you're doing right now? That makes sense.
But it will help PlayStation. It will help PlayStation Now. It will help PlayStation Now big time.
They don't need help, but they don't need help. That's the point I'm trying to make. They're not pushing PlayStation Now as the future. It's a supplement to what they already have that works. So why would they take a risk and completely change their business model to try and force PlayStation Now down your throat when there's no point? Keep selling PlayStation 5. That's what they're going to do.
I don't know, man. I would like to see something new, man. I'm tired of this. Hey, powerful console. No,
you're saying that, though. But if the only place I can play fucking God of War is on a PlayStation 5.
Paris, of course.
PlayStation 5.
But of course,
that's the
I'm
one
gonna,
I'm making.
But here, Paris, of course, I'm going to buy the console. Like, I'm not. What I'm saying is, push the industry forward. Not just release a console that's powerful. What else is new besides that? Because honestly, Paris, you could get that in any other console.
But see,
any
I don't think
console.
You're but from Sony's point of view, your argument doesn't make sense again.
No,
Microsoft is putting out the same powerful console too. There is nothing different. They're still going to put out a powerful console that does 4K
Here's the difference, Paris. They're pushing the industry forward. Even Google's pushing the industry forward with their announcements. If it works.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying. Nintendo is not the most powerful console out there, but the company is pushing the industry forward with that handheld device, Nintendo Switch. You could play all those games on the go. You could put it on your
TV.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm excited for the future for Sony. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm going to buy PlayStation.
And you're right. But here's the difference between, and I'm going to put Amazon into this. Here's the difference between Google, Microsoft, Amazon, and Sony. If the gaming divisions for Microsoft, Google, and Amazon went away tomorrow, they're still going to be the huge, giant conglomerates that they are today. If PlayStation tanked and went away for Sony, Sony goes out of business. That's the difference.
Yeah.
Sony isn't Sony anymore if PlayStation were to fail. So PlayStation's not going to take that kind of risk. They're number one. If they were in second place or third place, maybe they try something crazy, right? But they're not. They're number one. So why would they try and do something that is out of their comfort zone?
Here's an idea. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I know this is kind of crazy. But if Sony goes on stage and says, we have a big announcement, we're going to partner up with this company to push PlayStation now even further. Imagine them partnering with Amazon, let's just say. That's possible too. That's possible. If you go way back in the early 90s, Nintendo and Sony was originally going to release a console together. I don't know what happened that it didn't work out. Sony was like, you know what? We're going to do our own thing. And they released the original PlayStation after that. And Nintendo did their own thing and released Nintendo 64 after that, right? But originally, they were going to partner up. And, dude, it was going to be a huge, huge, huge thing for both companies, right? It's possible that, I'm not saying that Sony's only going to partner with Amazon, but it's possible if the company can do that and they'll get support from another company, like a huge partnership, that's possible too, Paris. That will be a pushing the industry forward, because now there's not only two companies, but it's multiple companies now doing the same exact thing, which is awesome. No?
And this is where you get dirty secrets. This is where dirty secrets comes from, because there is no way in hell, because it would have to be an Amazon. It would have to be. There is no way in hell they're partnered with Amazon because Sony, do you really think Sony could get away with giving away their cloud stuff for free?
No, they can't. But they need a company, it would take
a partnership with Amazon to pull that off. I think we agree. Now, why am I sharing any of my profits with Amazon? What's in it for PlayStation to start sharing some of their profits with Amazon? Because Amazon's not going to be like, hey, we'll just give it to you for free. They're going to want
something. No, but here's the reason, right? Paris. Here's the reason. When the industry pushes forward, the company needs to push forward. You don't want to be left behind, man. That's what happened with Nintendo. It hurt them. It hurt Nintendo not having an official online service for the console.
But you're coming at it from a standpoint of basically already saying that cloud streaming is a success. This is still a gamble for both Google and Microsoft. It's not been a proven winner yet. I mean, at least PlayStation can say, we got PlayStation Now and we've been doing it for X amount of years. We just don't push it as our number one option. We're going to continue to push our number one option is buy PlayStation 5, get our exclusive lineup, keep it going. Because that's been proven to be a success. Now, I'll give you this. let's say we get to 2022, 2023, and Stadia and Project X Cloud are smash hits, right?
Yeah.
Billions of people around the globe are playing games, streaming, it works, it's proven, all that. Yes. PlayStation will absolutely have to shift focus at that point.
And here's the issue with that, Paris. Here's the issue with that, Paris. What you just said right now. It will be too late.
Yeah.
It will be too late. Too late for Sony.
But it's a risk. Again, why is Sony, again, from a business standpoint, why would they risk in 2019, 2020 to all of a sudden try and gear up the infrastructure to compete with Google and Microsoft on something that is unproven?
All I'm saying is be on the lookout because
that's what I'm saying.
I know.
Why would they do it?
I get it. But at the same time, don't sleep on it. I'm just saying, if the company sleeps on it,
they have PlayStation now. They have PlayStation.
Yes, but it's not
tomorrow to flip the switch.
But you just said a few minutes ago that they don't have the servers like.
No, you're saying it's too late. They at least have a baseline infrastructure already in place for PlayStation now. I'm saying to compete globally on the scale that Google and Microsoft is doing. Why would they invest into that when it's unproven right
sometimes,
now?
Sometimes, look, this is a problem. This is a problem I have with the industry, man. Like when Nintendo released the Wii, the original Wii, the whole motion thing, a huge success, right? Every company now started doing it. It was already too late. It didn't work out. And that's what happened. I think, I'm not saying to be the first, but don't be way too behind, man. That's the only thing I'm saying, Paris. Don't be too behind. Even Nintendo's going to hurt, but the only advantage that Nintendo has, which I definitely see this, partnering with Microsoft.
I'm losing you.
Oh, sorry. Can you hear me now? Hello?
I hear you now.
Yeah. Okay. What I'm saying is now, like let's say, for example, Nintendo, the only advantage that Nintendo has, they don't have to do this at all. They just got to partner with Microsoft or with Google or even with both, and there will be a huge success because people will buy the console, man. Now, what are the chances of Google partnering with a PlayStation or something like that? Like, that's possible too, you know, and then the company doesn't have to worry about it so much. You know, yeah, they have PlayStation now, but it's possible. All I'm saying is don't be way too behind, man. Be there. Have your thing.
I get it, and I'm not arguing your point at all. And my battery's about to die, so we are going to have to end this.
Yeah,
simply say this: when Google and Microsoft can have a Last of Us 2, a Horizon Zero Dawn, an Uncharted, a God of War, on down the list, when they can have an exclusive lineup that is so compelling that it will make people go buy hardware just to go play it, then you can have that argument. I still say Sony has the advantage because they have the games that people want to play, and you can only play them on PlayStation.
All right, we ended it with that then. We ended it with that. It's all good.
All right, man.
I know you can't join us on Sunday, but I'll continue this talk with Pete. Let's see what he says.
All right, man.
I'll edit this.
All right, man. Later.
Peace.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Woo! What are your thoughts? What are your thoughts about our daily conversation? Wow, it was crazy. Insane, y'all. Insane. Do you agree? Disagree? Do you think that's even possible? Let us know. Fanmail@gamertagradio.com. That's fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or give us a call, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. Or you can go to speakpipe.com/gamertagradio. By the way, donations, keep on going. Keep on with the donations. It's helping us out. We need your support. Gamertag Radio, the whole crew, we're planning to attend E3 this year, but we can't attend E3 without your help. So this will mean a lot to us if you could support us, even if it's a dollar. Doesn't matter. Please help us out. We'll be getting donations from all around the world. We're going to give everybody shout outs on the next episode of GTR because P has a whole list. I don't. But please continue to support us and donate. It will help us out big time. Look, if we don't have the funds to go to E3, then we have to cancel the whole trip. We can't go to E3. And for those that have been listening to Gamer Tag Radio for years, when we go to E3, we go all out. We post so much so much content from there. We get exclusive episodes, everything during the week of E3. And even after E3, we still post content. So we need your support. Go right now to donate.gamertagradio.com. That's donate.gamertagradio.com. And it will help us big time to attend E3. So please donate and spread the word. All right. All right. So we're going to wrap it up here. The next episode is coming out in a couple of days. I'm going to record an episode with Pete. Paris is going to take a day off here. But we're going to be live on Twitch. You can go over there and check us out and join the conversation. But we're going to record an episode of the Gamer Tag Radio together with Pete. So that's going to be exciting. And stay tuned. We have a lot of cool content coming up in the future. Tell us your thoughts about daily conversations. All right. And we're going to be out here. Thank you for listening to Gamer Tag Radio. And until next time, we're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamer Tag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.